Let's read together this evening Genesis chapter 5. Genesis chapter 5, the text for the sermon tonight is verses 21 through 24. The Word of God at Genesis 5. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and blessed them, and called their name Adam, in the day when they were created. And Adam lived 130 years, and begat a son in his own likeness, after his image, and called his name Seth. And the days of Adam after he had begotten Seth were 800 years, and he begat sons and daughters. And all the days that Adam lived were 930 years, and he died. And Seth lived 105 years and begat Enos. And Seth lived after he begat Enos 807 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Seth were 912 years and he died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And Enos lived after he begat Canaan 815 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enos were 905 years. And he died. And Canaan lived 70 years and begat Mahalalel. And Canaan, after he begat Mahalalel, 840 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Canaan were 910 years and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begat Jared. And Mahalalel lived after he begat Jared 830 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years, and he died. And Jared lived 162 years and begat Enoch. And Jared lived after he begat Enoch 800 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And Lamech lived after he begat Noah 595 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Lamech were 777 years, and he died. And Noah was 500 years old, and Noah begat Shem, Ham, and Japheth. So far we read God's Word. As I said, it's verses 21 through 24 that we use as the text for the sermon this evening. Let's read those verses again together. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, if at the very end of your life someone had the opportunity to make one statement concerning your life, what would you want them to say about you? They had the opportunity simply to say one thing, and there are all sorts of things that you could say as they reflect upon your life. Few things would be as beautiful and honorable as this: That person was one while they lived on this earth who walked with God. That's what we know about the Old Testament Saint Enoch. There are very few things that we know about Enoch, but this we know about him, and what a beautiful thing that we do know about him. While Enoch lived on this earth, God says to us that he was one who walked with God. And for his walking with God, God rewarded him, which was a reward of grace, by not having to taste death. He brought Enoch to his eternal home in glory. So that right now, Enoch is in heaven with his Lord and Savior in body and in soul. But what a beautiful description of the life of the child of God that we have from Enoch in the Old Testament. It's that description that we consider tonight at this occasion of a confession of faith that we witness tonight. Because when a man or a woman confesses their faith, as Ted did this evening, really what they are saying is exactly what we read about Enoch. One is saying when they confess their faith, I love the Lord Jesus Christ. I know the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. And I am earnestly desirous to walk in all of the ways of God. To put it differently, when one confesses their faith, what they are saying before the church and the world is exactly this. In my life, though I walk with other people in the church, this is more so true. I walk with my God. And so, fittingly, we consider this example of Enoch at the occasion of Ted's confession of faith. And let's do that using as our theme tonight, Enoch walking with God. We notice in the first place the evil days in which he lived. In the second place, a wonderful example that Enoch is for us, and what it means to walk with God. And then, in the third place, we'll consider the glorious end that was Enoch's for his walking with God. Enoch, walking with God. Evil days, wonderful example, and glorious end. If we're going to understand this Old Testament Saint Enoch, what we need to do is understand the time at which he lived. Now, just taking what we read from Genesis 5 in and of itself is beautiful and edifying. Just to look at what we know from Genesis 5 concerning Enoch, that he was a man in the line of Seth, concerning whom it says that he walked with God. But what makes that truth all the more beautiful and all the more edifying is when you understand it in light of Genesis chapter 4. Because what Genesis chapter 4 allows us to do is set the context of the days in which Enoch lived. And when we do that, we see exactly as the first point of the sermon indicates that Enoch was a man who lived in terribly evil days. And ultimately what we'll see from this is that it makes the parallel for us all the more fitting as we live in the same terribly evil days. And what a beauty it is when God works in us in such a way that we walk with God. When we read Genesis chapter 5, we don't know very much about these figures that we read of. We're reading in Genesis 5 about the lineage of Adam through Seth. And really, as we read, all we know about these individuals is their name, their main son through whom Christ would come or from whom Christ would come, and how old they were when they had that son, and then how old they were when they died. These names don't particularly stand out to us. We know, obviously, Adam and Seth. We know the end of it, Lamech and his son Noah, and Noah's sons Shem, Ham, and Japheth, because that's where God picks it up again and fills out the narrative in the Old Testament. Methuselah, of course, rings a bell in our mind because from our knowledge, he is the oldest man who has ever walked the face of this earth, 969 years old. But generally speaking, we know very little about these individuals, except Enoch. The Holy Spirit worked in such a way to give us some information concerning Enoch. And the rest of the scriptures, for that matter, are very sparse in talking about Enoch. There are a couple of other places that mention Enoch, Hebrews 11 and Jude's epistle, and we'll get to those later in the sermon. But what we can also derive from Enoch is the fact that he is the seventh one from Adam. If you counted as we were reading this genealogy, you would notice that Enoch is the seventh from Adam. It's interesting, too, that in Jude's epistle, he made a special point of that. It says, Enoch, the seventh from Adam. Now, that's significant in light of what we find in Genesis chapter 4. Because in Genesis chapter 4, we have a genealogy as well. But it's not the genealogy as we read it in the line of Seth, but the genealogy of the line of Cain. Cain's genealogy runs as follows. Cain and Enoch and Irad and Mahujael and Lamech and Jabal, Jubal and Tubal-Cain. Those three sons of Lamech. The significance of Genesis chapter 4 is the fact that if you add up the number that you have to get to Lamech, you find that it's the exact same as it was for Enoch. Lamech in Genesis chapter 4 is the seventh from Adam through the line of Cain. Now that's significant because of what we know about Lamech from Genesis chapter 4. This is what we read about Lamech in verses 19 and following. And Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Ada, and the name of the other Zillah. And Ada bare Jabal. He was the father of such as dwell in tents and of such as have cattle. And his brother's name was Jubal. He was the father of all such as handle the harp and organ. And Zillah, she also bare Tubal-Cain, an instructor of every artificer in brass and iron. And the sister of Tubal-Cain was Naamah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Ada and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech. Hearken unto my speech. For I have slain a man to my wounding, and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, truly Lamech 70 and sevenfold. We have a description there of the wickedness of Lamech and his family. Now we know, of course, that in the days after Adam, there was this increasing wickedness in the world until the time of Noah, when God saw it to fit to destroy the world by means of the flood. But the Holy Spirit was very deliberate in doing what He does in Genesis 4 and Genesis 5, and setting up this parallel between Enoch and what we read of him and Lamech and his family and what we read of them. Because by seeing that both were the seventh from Adam, direct contemporaries with one another, it serves to emphasize all the more the evil days in which Enoch lived. That's illustrated by this man and his family, Lamech. Lamech was guilty of terrible sins. He was guilty of the sin of adultery, taking unto himself two wives, Ada and Zillah. He was guilty of the sin of murder. He was guilty of the sin of passing down those sins to his children. The point of the Holy Spirit enlisting his children and what they did was to show that they used their skills and their abilities in making instruments or crafting things or even in the world of industry, not to serve the purposes of the glory of God and His name, but to serve their own earthly and worldly purposes. He had developed in his family the wickedness that was true of himself as their father. But the striking thing about Lamech is that he was unashamedly wicked. He was an adulterer, two wives. He was a murderer. But the thing about Lamech is that he wanted the whole world to know that he had committed these murders. And that was the last two verses that we read from Genesis 4, verses 23 and 24. He bragged to his wife that he himself was a man who took the lives of other men. These were the days in which Enoch lived. Terribly evil days. And when you set his walking with God up against that dark background, it becomes all the more beautiful. And it becomes all the more a wonder of God's grace and the power of God in him to walk in such a way as he did. The days of Enoch, beloved, are absolutely no different than the days in which we are living. There was increasing wickedness leading up to the flood. And we know that that flood in the Old Testament, not only is a type of baptism as we saw this morning, along with the passing through of the Red Sea, but the flood in the Old Testament is also, as we all know, a type of the end of the world. God's destruction of the world at that time pointed ahead to the return of Jesus Christ and the destruction of the world when He returns and the ushering in of the new heaven and the new earth. We know that there was increasing wickedness in the days leading up to the flood. And we know that we are living in those exact same days. And as time goes on, the cup of iniquity of the world in which we live is filling up until the day when it's full. And the Lord Jesus Christ powerfully comes again on the clouds of glory. We can draw out that parallel in many ways. I want to emphasize just one point this evening. And that is how unashamedly the world is wicked. That's something that I mentioned a moment ago with respect to Lamech. That he committed these sins, but he was altogether open about it. And he even wanted the world to know that he was one who walked in these sins. He did that even with respect to murder. Something that even in our society is not to the point where men, when they actually take the life of another man, are free to glory to the world around it. There are some, of course, that do that. In implied ways, the world is unashamedly endorsing murder by means of what's shown on the television and video games and all of the rest. But you see even something more profound in the days of Enoch. But nevertheless, this is a characteristic of the world in which we live. As time goes on, the world becomes less and less reserved in walking in the ways of sin. And I think probably the older saints can understand that. I can even understand that and see the development of it over time. There are things that 20, 30, even 10 years ago would never have been done or shown in public, whereas today they're set before us as clear as can be. What used to be shown on the television 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago, or what is shown today, 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago, would have never been shown. Even when it comes to the advertisements that you see on television and on billboards, and as you walk through the mall, you see things with your eyes that years ago would never have been shown. The world, as time goes on, is unashamedly wicked. It's always been wicked, of course, not taking away from the depravity of man in the past, but it is true that as time goes on, it becomes more and more open, as it was with Lamech in the days before the flood. And that's why, as we consider this text, we understand all the better the importance of taking it to heart and striving to make that confession of faith that we make as believers, and backing that confession up with what it says of Enoch, that it is said of us that we walk with God. And when you understand the days in which Enoch lived, it becomes all the more beautiful. So let's consider that example of Enoch. Let's see what it means that he was a man in the Old Testament that walked with God. And we can pull together what we know of Enoch from the Old Testament and New Testament and make the following points concerning what it means to walk with God. In the first place, that Enoch walked with God means that he was reconciled to God. It means that he was one with God. Those that you walk with in your life here on this earth are those that you are one with. And we can gather that, for example, from a passage in the prophecy of Amos. Amos 3, verse 3 says the following: "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" If you're going to walk together with someone, you need to be on the same page as that person. You need to be one with that person. Now that passage is obviously applying to our relationships here on this earth, and it has profound implication with respect to that. Who are our friends? Who are our spouses? Who are our close friends in this life? It's those that we are agreed with. If we are going to walk down life's pathway with someone, we need to be one with them and one with the things that matter, one in the Lord, one in our common belief, one in our confession of the Lord Jesus Christ. But that same principle that is true among us as believers is true in our relationship with God. If it will be said of us that we walk with God, that means that we need to be one with Him. And the only way that you and I are one with God is to be reconciled to Him. Because Enoch by nature, Ted by nature, who confessed his faith tonight, all of us by nature are not one with God. By nature, on account of our sins, we are against God. We are the opposite of God. We are opposed to God. And it's only through God's work in Jesus Christ to reconcile us to Himself that we become one with Him, to make this even possible, that it can be said of us that we walk with Him in our lives here on this earth. Enoch was a man, undoubtedly, who went to the altar. Enoch was a man, undoubtedly, who knew himself as a sinner. He didn't look at that sinful world in which we live in the terribly evil days, and even Lamech, if it happened to be the case that he knew who this figure of Lamech was and said, "Look at him, but don't look at me," and never can I in any way identify with him as a sinner. In pride, pointing the finger and not looking at himself. No, Enoch, if he walked with God and was reconciled to God, knew himself to be by nature no different than those sinners in the evil days in which he lived. He was a man, humbly, who knew his sin and undoubtedly went to the altar and killed those animals and laid those animals on those altars as a sacrifice to God and as a way in which he put his faith. And he had faith, according to Hebrews 11, in the Lord Jesus Christ, whom God promised to them that would come. If we walk with God, we're reconciled to God. And if we're reconciled to God, that means that we belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it is His shed blood that covers our sins. And that was the confession of faith tonight. It's a confession of faith in a certain truth that we believe. But the heart of the confession of faith is this: Christ is my Savior. And through Jesus Christ and His shed blood, I am brought to God so that I am one with Him. And therefore, walk with Him in my life here on this earth. So the first thing that walking with God means is that Enoch and we, like Enoch, are reconciled to God and one with God. Second thing that we can say about Enoch walking with God is that he pleased God. If he walked with him, what that necessarily meant was that he was pleasing to God. We gather that from what we know about Enoch in Hebrews chapter 11. Enoch goes down in Hebrews 11 as one of the mighty men of faith. And the emphasis in Hebrews 11 is not on these individuals per se, but it's on the God who gave them faith and the one in whom they put their trust, the Lord Jesus Christ. But nevertheless, he is an example of one who lived by faith. And this is what we read concerning Enoch in Hebrews 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Put that together with what we know about Enoch in Genesis 5, that he walked with God, and you see that those two go hand in hand. If you walk with God, that means that you are pleasing to God. And if you are pleasing to God, what that means is that you are walking in the ways of God. This we know about God. God is pleased with that which is holy and that which is righteous. God is displeased with that which is unholy and that which is unrighteous. He hates all that is against him and opposed to him as the holy and righteous God. So if it was said concerning Enoch that in his walking with God he pleased God, what that means is that Enoch was a man who walked according to the commandments and ways of God. God is most pleased, we can see this idea from, with the Lord Jesus Christ. What was it said concerning Christ at his baptism in the New Testament? This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. God was more pleased with Christ. I shouldn't say it that way. God was pleased in a profound way with Christ, because Christ, like no other, was one who obeyed his will perfectly. He was pleased with Christ because he took upon himself the form of a man and humbled himself. He was pleased with Christ as his beloved Son because Christ ultimately went to that cross as God ordained him to do and died for his church. It illustrates the truth that God is pleased with those that are righteous and those that are holy. Enoch was that. And I mention Christ because there was something in Enoch that was not Enoch by nature. We saw that a moment ago in the first point, that by nature Enoch was opposed to God. But there was something in Enoch that empowered him to walk in the ways of God. And that was the Spirit of God. And ultimately we can say that that was Christ Himself in Enoch. And Christ is the one that he is well pleased with most. And it was by the power of God in him that he walked in the ways of God, so that when he walked in this life, God could say concerning him, I'm pleased with you. I'm pleased with you because of my work in you through the Lord Jesus Christ. Enoch was a man that looked at the evil days in which he lived. And he said concerning those days, I hate these things that I see. I know that by nature that's the way that I'd want to live. But I know there's a part of me that hates that. And I'm going to pray earnestly to God, and I'm going to seek God's help to say no to everything evil that I see around me and walk in the holy and righteous ways of God. Beloved, if it's true of us, as it is true of us, by the grace of God, that we belong to God, that we walk with God, this will be true of us. We'll be able to see the world in which we live through the spectacles of Scripture, see the increasing nature of sin in this world. and say in the depths of our hearts, I hate that. And oh God, give me grace and give me strength every single day to fight against it, to say no to the world in every respect possible, so that it can be said of me in my life here on this earth, I am pleasing to you as God in the way in which I live. Beloved, if we walk with God and are pleasing to God, we are believers on this earth that hate sin and follow God in all of His commandments. Think about that, especially for you young people. You walk with one another as friends here on this earth. But in your walking with one another, are you walking with God in this way, by being different, very different from the world in which we live, so that you stand out as Christians, blatantly Christian, in the way in which you live, so that you walk with God? So it means in the first place that Enoch was reconciled to God and one with God. It means in the second place that Enoch pleased God in his walk with Him. That Enoch walked with God in the third place means that he was a friend of God. Now it doesn't say that explicitly. We have that said explicitly, for example, of Abraham in James 2 verse 23 that he was a friend of God. But that's the clear implication of what we know about Enoch in Genesis 5. If you walk with somebody, what that implies is that you are a friend with that person. That's true on our everyday life here on this earth. We walk with people. We go for walks with people. And when you go for a walk with somebody, who is it that you walk with? Typically, it's those that are close to you. It's your loved ones. It's your friends. It's your husband. It's your wife. And you don't run with them. When you run with them, you can't really talk. But there's something about walking that emphasizes the friendship of the two. Because when you walk with someone, the benefit of doing that is not only that there are health advantages of going for walks, but the benefit of going for a walk with someone is that you are able to converse. You talk with one another. You share experiences with one another. You encourage one another. You lay out your struggles with one another so that you can help one another. The very activity of walking with somebody has implied in it friendship, communication, and a concern for one another. That was true of Enoch in his spiritual relationship with God. He walked with Him in the sense that he talked with God. He shared things with God. And God was able to help him as his friend. Walking with God is a figure that points to the truth of the covenant being God's friendship with us. And it's beautifully pictured in this idea of walking with God. That's why in confession of faith, not that's done publicly here, but what's done in the consistory room always, as it was done with Ted, there is a discussion about your personal walk with the Lord. We even use that language. What characterizes the way in which you live your life in your relationship to God? And it's the things that characterize friendship. Speaking to God in the way of prayer. Speaking to Him in the worship of His name and in singing. Hearing Him speak to us as our friend. In the Scriptures during the week and our ability to read them. In the worship of His name, in the preaching of the gospel where we hear the voice of Jesus Christ Himself. Personal walking with God is friendship with God. Friendship that's characterized by this close communion and fellowship. And so when Ted confessed his faith, and when we all say together that we are those who walk with God, if we say that, we will strive to make this true as well, that we live as friends by the power of God in us with God. In the fourth place, that Enoch walked with God means that he was very active in his relationship with God. That comes from the idea of walking. Walking is not something passive. Walking is an activity. It's doing something. It's putting one foot in front of the other. One of the greatest dangers of the Christian life is to become passive, where we're not day by day being purposeful in our walk with God, in our relationship with Jesus Christ, but simply letting things happen around us, simply going through the motions of what it means to be a Christian. Relationships suffer if there is not that active dimension to the relationship. That's true in our relationships with each other. If we're very passive in our friendships, eventually what happens is there becomes a growing apart. That's true, for example, in marriages, when all you do, very simply, is coexist with one another in a home, but you don't take the necessary active steps to remain close to one another. This is what we're going to do every single day together, so that over time we remain close to one another. If friends are passive in their relationship, what happens is they draw farther and farther apart. For example, if you're close friends with somebody and that friend moves to a different city, moves down to the Chicago area, if that friendship is going to remain close, it takes active, deliberate work. And that's pictured in this idea of walking. It's an activity, purposeful. And you can apply that to our relationship with God. And this is where the figure breaks down a little bit, because it's true in our relationships that we grow very, very apart and completely apart sometimes. But that will never be, of course, true in our relationship with God. But in our experience of our relationship with God, there are times in our lives when we become passive, when we don't become deliberate in the way in which we live with God. And the fruit of that is a distancing ourselves from God. This idea of walking is so helpful in this regard, and it reminds us of the calling that we have to be very deliberate, to go home tonight, if we have to do that, and say, what does God give us and call us to do to remain close to Him, so that I'm not just going through the motions of Christianity, but I'm taking purposeful steps to remain close to Him, finding time daily to pray, finding time daily to talk with those that are close to me about the things of God's Word, preparing myself on Saturday evening so that I don't simply go to church on Sunday, but I go to church with a right frame of mind, so that I hear the Word in the right way, and so that I am active in my worship, and therefore through that grow in my relationship to God. And many, many other ways beside that. The point is that walking is active, not passive. In the Christian life, in our relationship with God, is active. It must never be a passive activity. Enoch was that. He walked, did that. He walked with God. And then in the fifth place, what it means that Enoch walked with God is that he spoke the truth of God. The words that came out of his mouth were the very words of God as the friend of God. And particularly what came out of the mouth of Enoch was a call to repentance to the world around him. That's what we know, for example, from Jude. Jude 14 and 15 says this, "And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of His saints, to execute judgment upon all and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all of their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed and all of their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him." It says there that he prophesied of the coming judgment of the Lord. And so walking with God meant for Enoch that he was going to be the mouthpiece of God. He was going to speak the very word of God. And in Enoch's day, that was this: a call to repentance to the world around him in which he lived, telling others, the Lord is going to come in judgment, and therefore repent, turn to Him, confess your sins, and put your faith in Jehovah God. The one who walks with God does so not only in the way that they live, but also in the words that they speak. And the words that we speak, if we walk with God and are friends with God, are going to be the very words of God Himself. And they may take on different characters at different times and in different situations. For Enoch, it was this: a call to repentance to the wicked world around him. For us, always, we must strive to speak the Word of God. That's what confession of faith is, after all. Confession with the mouth, saying to the church, saying to the world, this truth, this word which is God's, is my word that I love and that I believe. And sometimes it may be the exact same thing as Enoch's word. If circumstances are right and we have the opportunity with our neighbors, those whom we are close to, our acquaintances, we may have to do the same thing Enoch did, and we pray for boldness to do that. To say to someone, the Lord's coming. The Lord's coming in judgment. And all those who do not put their faith and trust in this Lord will be judged for their sins, and call them to repentance. And relay to them your own personal experience and your own personal knowledge as a sinner and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and the hope and the peace and the comfort that goes along with that. The point, though, simply is this: if we walk with God and are friends with God and are one with God, we will speak the very Word of God. That's what it means from the Scriptures that Enoch walked with God. He was one with Him. He pleased God. He was the friend of God. He was active in his faith. And he unashamedly spoke the very Word of God. And what is emphasized when you consider those points is that that was the work of God in him and for him. And every time one confesses their faith, we're drawn to see that point. All of those things that I just said about Enoch were only because of the work of God for him. God was the one who reconciled him unto himself. God was the one who gave him his Spirit in such a way that he pleased God by the work that he did on this earth. God was the one who said in eternity, this Enoch is going to be my friend. God is the one who gave him the strength to be active in his relationship with God. And God's the one that empowered him and gave him boldness in the face of the enemies to say, the Lord executes His judgment. Repent and turn to the Lord. It was God's work to save him. To save him in the one that would come, the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was God's work in him to cause him to walk with Him. And beloved, we know that. Everyone who confesses their faith, as we saw tonight, makes that confession concerning the work of God. I'm not to this point in my life because of who I am. I'm not saying these things because it was something in me. All of the emphasis, all of the praise, all of the glory for one who walks with God. And for tonight too with Ted, is not to the individual, but it's to the God and the Savior Jesus Christ and His cross that makes this possible. For Enoch, there was a reward of grace for his walking with God. And the reward of grace that was given to him was the fact that God brought him directly to heaven. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Hebrews 11 says the same thing in verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. Enoch was taken directly to heaven. One of two that we know of for sure, Elijah being the other one, who in his body as well as soul right now is in heaven with their Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In some way, the body of Enoch, which was fit for this earth, was changed so that it was fit for heaven, and right now is in heaven with Christ. Enoch was translated probably at the time when he was persecuted. We don't know this for sure, but it certainly is the implication from Jude 4. Enoch was very bold in his faith, and he called others to repentance. And as we all know, at times in our lives, when we are bold in our faith, there are consequences. And that wicked world around him in those evil days saw that and undoubtedly wanted to do something about it and wanted to take probably the life of Enoch. And it may have been the case that when that was going to happen, God took him so that he did not have to suffer the pain of death and experience that, but God took him to heaven directly. God did so when Enoch was 365 years old. Interesting point to think about. Relatively speaking, therefore, Enoch was young. Middle-aged, I guess, because of the lifespans back in that day. But certainly not an old man when it comes to how long they lived back then. But yet God was pleased to take Enoch when he was 365 years old. And it points out the fact that we all know that it's God's time when he says, "Come home, I'm going to take you to glory." You have to face the question with Enoch of why. Why did God translate him? Why of all of the people that he chose in eternity in Christ to be his own, he chose Enoch as one that he would take directly to glory? Not sure you can give a concrete answer to that question, but you can say something about it. There's an answer to that question with respect to Enoch. Enoch himself was faithful by the work of God in him, and for the reward of Enoch, a reward of grace, he took him to glory in that way. But what we need to remember too is that others knew about this. And others may have even saw this. That Enoch did not have to taste death. And that others saw that Enoch was taken directly to heaven to be with God. And that fact would have been a source of encouragement to those saints that lived in those same evil days. The implication of what we read about Enoch is not that he was the only one to walk with God as though he was elevated above every other saint. No. What we read about Enoch must be true of us as Christians. And so when Enoch was translated to glory, he left his fellow believers. And they saw that. And they're seeing Enoch and knowing that God was faithful. A concrete evidence of that with Enoch to take him to glory. What a source of encouragement. And what a source of comfort that would have been for those who remained. A source of encouragement to press on in the evil days in which they lived, not to succumb to the wickedness of the world, to say that I am going to keep putting one foot in front of the other until it is my time that God will take me to glory. But when you consider this truth, it does encourage us, and it must have encouraged them in Enoch's day. Another concrete example of how our God is an unfailing, faithful God to His people. And He will, most certainly, bring His people to to glory. And let that be the encouragement to us. Let that be the encouragement to you, Ted, who confessed his faith tonight. That this is where Enoch went because God was faithful to him. And though we will go there in a different way, beloved, the destination is the exact same. He was taken directly in body and soul. But one day He will take us. Our body will go to the grave, but our soul will go to glory. But one day, even beyond that, like Enoch, the two will be reunited, where in body and soul we live with the Lord forever. But see the example of Enoch in the terrible evil days in which he lived. A beautiful example of the work of God in someone to walk with God. And let us be encouraged in the exact same evil days by the power of God's grace in us and through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to continue to walk with our God. Continue to walk with Him until God says concerning us what He said concerning Enoch. Now is the time, my son. Now is the time, my daughter, when you're going to come to me and be in glory. Beloved, may God continue to be with us. May God continue to be with you, Ted. So that it may be a set of us like it was said of Enoch, that we are His people who walk with God. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, we thank Thee for this truth that we could consider in this example of Enoch. We pray that we might take it to heart and be encouraged in our lives to walk with Thee, our God. We thank Thee for our Lord and Savior who covers our sins and reconciles us to Thee, the Lord Jesus Christ. In His name and for His sake do we pray. Amen.